Already we're two races into the 2022 Formula One season, with new regulations, new cars, and some new drivers. Not long after the inaugural race in Saudi Arabia, F1 returned to Jeddah for another exciting weekend. I'm Andrew Elliott. Unfortunately, I'm not here with my good friend David Proud this week, so I'd like to welcome you to this very special solitary edition of the Tired and Exhausted podcast. If you enjoy listening, please share us with your friends, family, and rate us wherever you listen. Great to have you with us. Firstly, sorry that this podcast has taken a while to get out. Normally what we like to do is watch the races live, perhaps take a moment to gather our thoughts, and then discuss them that evening and get the podcast out straight away. There have been a number of reasons why this podcast is late and why I'm on my own, which I'll go into in a moment, but firstly, I'm sorry. Now, the first reason that we didn't do it straight away after the race last weekend was because David couldn't watch it live. It was the BAFTA weekend, so David was at the BAFTA Awards ceremony. He was away for the weekend and just wasn't able to watch it. He watched it later on in the evening in a hotel room. But he wasn't back until early on, the beginning of that week. He had some work to catch up on, so we said, you know, look, know what? There's no race for 2 weeks. Why don't we do the podcast the weekend in between the two races, because we're a little bit late anyway. So we thought we'd do that. Unfortunately, before the weekend even arrived, David contracted COVID. So he's been ill, unfortunately, and unable to podcast. He's actually round mine at the moment. I've had it, so I'm at no risk at all, and my house is fully accessible. So just so he's not on his own, he's round here, and you know we're looking after him. In fact, he's probably in his room at the moment playing Gran Turismo with a blanket over his knees in clothes that can only be described as comfortable. But he's feeling a little bit better, not quite up to podcasting yet, but he's getting a bit better. Now, on to the race. It was great to see Mick Schumacher up and about. I don't know if you saw the crash that he had, but it was a pretty big one. And what was even more worrying is we didn't hear anything for quite a while after he hit the wall, and we didn't see any replays. Now, that's normally quite common. The Formula One don't show replays until they know the driver is okay. They don't want anyone seeing a horrific incident again and again. And being traumatized by that, so they wait until they know the driver's okay, and then they start to show replays. I remember looking at the crash and thinking it's pretty bad, but you know he's probably okay because you kind of know how safe these cars are. Unfortunately, we didn't see any replays for a while, and there was no news about how he was. So I remember getting a little bit worried, thinking, oh, I hope he's okay and hasn't had a bad accident. What actually happened was his radio was destroyed, or the connection with the radio was destroyed in the crash. So the team couldn't hear from him at all. So you know there was no way of telling that he was okay, which is why we didn't see any replays for a while. But yeah, fortunately he was okay. I know that the team, as soon as they realised he was fine, was straight on the phone to his mum, which I thought was a really nice thing to do. So you know, hats off to Haas for doing that. But it was good to see him up and about. He wasn't racing this weekend, but he was in the paddock, and you know, took a bit of a knock, but just goes to show just how safe these cars really are when you can crash at 150, 200 miles an hour into a wall, and the next day just be up and about. So that was really good to see. Onto the race itself. I think the new regulations are working. So it appears that cars are now able to tailgate a lot easier, and they can stay there without shredding their tyres. Now, in the past, you've seen cars that can, you know, that would tailgate for maybe a lap or two to try and get past. But if they couldn't get past quickly, they'd have to pull back because they know the tyres are just going to get shredded. You know, it's okay if you're in a straight line because you get a nice tow, which I explained on one of the previous podcasts. But if you're going around corners, then the air coming off the back of the car in front is going to be coming up at a different angle, and it's going to attack your tyres and wear them out quite quickly. There's less of that this season, so cars can appear to be able to stay behind the car in front for lap after lap after lap, and their tyres aren't going to get shredded. So that was really good to see. A great example of that was Alonso and Ocon early on in the race. That was a particularly good example because they're in the same team, and it's always good fun watching teammates drive against each other because they're in the same car. The incentive to beat your teammate is always greater than an incentive to beat anybody else because he's the only real, you know, kind of competition or only real fair competition you have because you're in the same car. And it was great that the team, that Alpine allowed them to race. You know, lots of times teams will just say, you know what, hold position, don't, you know, you're not allowed to overtake the car in front. Or they might say, you know what, car number one, pull over, let car number two, you know, drive by. And then if they can't pull out a bit of a gap, we'll let you swap over again. But they didn't say that. They just allowed the Alonso and Ocon to race fairly, which is really, really good to see. Moving on from that, it looks like Ferrari strategists have come on a little bit in the last couple of years. They've made a few mistakes in the past couple of seasons that have probably meant that they've missed the occasional podium and perhaps the occasional win as well, just because they haven't got things quite right. And it's easy for people like me to say this in hindsight, but you know, those guys should really be a bit better at it than I am. But this weekend they were really, really good. They pressured Red Bull to stop early, which was a great tactic. Now that was so they could do the undercut. They told Leclerc to box as he was in the pit window, and he had the ability to potentially undercut Perez. Now I want to talk for a moment about what the undercut is. Now an undercut is where two drivers are racing, and first of all the driver behind pits before the driver in front. So we'll call the front car car one and the rear car car two. Okay, so once car two pits from behind, the plan is to put in one or potentially several quick laps before car number one pits. Now this can be possible because the new tyres usually offer significantly more grip than older tyres, even if you're changing to a harder compound. Normally there's that little bit grippier. With the new grip, car two can often lap faster than car number one. So if the outlap of car two, the outlap is the first lap after pitting, you come out of the pits, that first lap is your outlap. If that outlap of car number two is significantly faster than the inlap of car number one, now the inlap is the lap before pitting, then car number two can sometimes be ahead by the time car one exits the pits. Now this can be a risky manoeuvre, as the car in front could have been saving his tyres and he could potentially put in some faster laps than he was doing before. He could have been lulling you. It could also mean that pitting early means that your tyres will wear out soon and you could either end up needing an additional pit stop later on in the race, or you could be driving on rubber with no grip and be vulnerable to everyone behind you. So it is slightly risky. It also doesn't work out on every racetrack. Now with most racetracks it's usually a pretty good way to overtake, but it does rely on you getting your tyres up to temperature quickly. Now that's more of an issue this season as well. So although tyres are heated up in blankets in the garage, by the time they're fitted to the car and the car has slowly driven out of the pits, they're usually much cooler and they need to get them up to temperature again. There have also been some rule changes around tyre heating this season, particularly regarding the blankets. So for years, tyre blankets could heat the tyres up to 100 degrees Celsius. Last year, they reduced the rear tyres to 80 degrees Celsius, so you'd have 100 degrees on the front and 80 degrees on the back. This year, both fronts and rears can only be heated up to 70 degrees, which is significantly significantly lower. As of this year as well, teams can no longer use the heat from their brakes to warm up their tyres. So it does actually take the teams longer to heat up the tyres than it has done in previous years. What this all means is that it's by no means a dead cert that the undercut will work, especially this season. But if you're on a track where heating up your tyres is easy, then it's probably worth attempting. Now you've got to think about things like fast sweeping corners. That's, you know, they're the type of thing that heat your tyres up the fastest. And it's why teams often don't try undercuts at somewhere like Monaco, because that's a low speed track with slow corners. In tracks like that and circumstances like that, it's very hard to get a decent outlap after you stop it can take like two or three laps to warm up your tyres. So teams tend to try and wait the longest time before pitting so they can pit after the car in front and put in a super fast in lap, and that's called the overcut. Anyway, Ferrari signalled to Leclerc to pit, and Red Bull pitted Perez immediately to try and avoid any undercutting, which is normally the thing you do on a track like this. Unfortunately for him, there was an accident about half a lap later, which kind of ruined Perez's race. Now, Perez pitted normally, so it would have cost him about 20 to 25 seconds. Everyone else pitted under the safety car, so the time lost, because everyone was driving slower, was about half. Add to that the fact that Perez exited under the safety car, so he was unable to utilise that fresh rubber, and he lost out in a few places, so that was unfortunate. It's also unusual for a Latifi crash to hinder Red Bull. Normally it's the other way around. Other things to note from the safety car, I think it was pretty obvious that Perez pushed Sainz out. Sainz was clearly over the safety car line before Perez was, and I think it was right that he had to give that position back. Verstappen also doesn't appear to be learning how to start under a safety car. It backfired for him last time around, when he was kind of trying to push Leclerc, and Leclerc kind of forced him to jam on his brakes, in which case Leclerc rocketed off the line. And this year he was pushed over onto the dirty side of the track for ages, so he would have picked up all the marbles on his tyres. That wouldn't have been good for him. Hopefully he'll just kind of learn to cool it a little bit, because I think we're being robbed of some racing just because he's that little bit too aggressive. After the safety car, there was some great racing by lots of different cars. I thought it was great of Magnussen letting Hamilton through so he could get DRS immediately afterwards. Hamilton didn't make the same mistake twice. Unlike Verstappen in the last race, where he let Leclerc do that to him a couple of times, but that was really, really good racing. I thought Hülkenberg defended really well on old hard tyres against Bottas. That was some good racing. Another couple of things I noticed. We've got the spinners on the wheels back this season, which we haven't had for a few years. Now, the multicoloured spinners in McLaren I thought looked really cool. Whenever you see the car kind of zoom past, they look fantastic. Unfortunately, Red Bull's spinners are red, so I had to double check every time I look at a Red Bull. It looks to me like they're on the soft compound tyres. So I have to double check that. So I'm not a massive fan of those, but I think spinners returning is good. And another benefit of those is they kind of calm the air coming off the back of the car as well. So they're another one of those regulations that should enable cars to tailgate. So yeah, they're good to see. Unfortunately for Zhou Guanyu, he had a penalty, which was kind of his fault. He had the first penalty, but then he had an issue with I think the jack. So he started out 12th, and early on he overtook Alex Albon. Unfortunately, it was off track, and he was given a 5-second penalty. And normally this is just like a slam dunk whenever you do that. You know, you overtake off the track, you get a small penalty. That needs to happen the next time you pit. If you've finished all your pit stops, they'll just add 5 seconds to your time at the end of the race. But as it was early on, and you have to change tyre compounds at least once, it was guaranteed that Zhou Guanyu would have to pit unless he retired. So he came into the pits, and what happens is before the mechanics change your tyres or work on the car, they have to wait 5 seconds. So you drive into the pits, you stop, there's a guy there with a stopwatch. As soon as you come to a standstill, he clicks his stopwatch, waits 5 seconds, and then he signals for everyone to go, and then they do the pit stop. Normally it's a little over 5 seconds, because they don't want to make any mistakes and get another penalty. Unfortunately, it looked like the jackman lifted the car off the ground during the 5 second wait, which isn't allowed. You're not allowed to do anything, not even lift the car up. So he was then given a drive-through penalty for not serving the first penalty properly, and that kind of ruined his race. He was just outside the top 10, and I think he would have been in the top 10 if it wasn't for that. Unfortunate for Bottas as well. He had a cooling issue with the engine, had to retire. Otherwise the Alfa Romeos looked fast and they would surely have had a double points finish. So looking forward to some good racing with those guys later on in the season. Bottas wasn't the only car to have issues though. Alonso had a rough time, had issues cooling the car. It took Sky a while to spot that. I mean, I had the I had the kind of the app open, and you could kind of see him dropping places after places, but they didn't pick up on that initially. And then whilst Sky were late picking up on Alonso, they didn't notice Ricciardo having issues as well. So they were a bit slow to spot that one as well. But it was a shame that those two guys had their issues. Magnussen managed to pit just before the final virtual safety car. But unfortunately, Hamilton didn't. His race engineers were that little bit too slow. Now, it's difficult to tell if that would have had much of an advantage. I mean, we'll never know. They closed the pit lane, so Hamilton couldn't pit, and in fact, nobody could pit under the virtual safety car. But if Hamilton was so close to them calling that, that I think by the time he'd have got to the pit and they'd have been working on his car, the virtual safety car would have been out and the pit would have been closed. So he would have, although it wouldn't have been a completely free pit stop, he would have saved some time and he would have been on fresh tyres. So he may have been able to get another couple of positions. We'll never know, but I think his mechanics were just a little bit too slow. In fact, they did tell him to pit, but after he'd driven past the pit box. I mean, it's difficult to know why they were unaware of exactly where Hamilton was and why they didn't just tell him to pit 5 seconds earlier or even 2 seconds earlier. That would have been fine, but there we go. Verstappen, again, didn't seem to... I know I keep going on about Verstappen. He didn't seem to learn from the week before, and he overtook Leclerc too early again. Although he did finally learn on lap 47. So after making the same mistake, you know, a couple of times on the last race, once on this race, he finally learned to hang fire and not overtake him too early, and then overtake him on the second DRS. And then I think yellow flags saved Verstappen towards the end as well. One thing that did really impress me, I don't know if any of you noticed this, but there was some debris on his car. So I think it was on one of the things that sticks up on the nose of the car. I think it might have been one of the cameras. And there was like something kind of flapping around. And this was on the right-hand side of the nose. And Verstappen was driving with his right hand only through the tight and twisty section at about 150 miles an hour and reaching over with his left hand to try and pull this debris out. So, I mean, he's an amazing driver. And to be able, you know, just driving these cars at 150 miles an hour isn't easy. Driving it with one hand whilst, you know, trying to grab some piece of string or something is incredible. So that really, really impressed me. So that's it. Hopefully, sorry that was a short one, but, you know, I was unable to have a conversation with David this time. Hopefully we'll be back again for the next race. So we'll see you again soon.